Welcome back to Feeling Inspired. I'm your host, Mahesh, and today we're going to talk about supreme confidence. We're going to talk about that type of confidence that we all love. When we see it, we love it. And when we don't see it, we're like, oh, come on, right? Just, you know, I want to talk about this because the confidence, right? I want to unpack what confidence really is and supreme confidence. I'm not talking about supreme cockiness, right? I'm not talking about, you know, faking it till you make it, right? I'm not talking about, you know, supreme pretending, right? I'm talking about that genuine. So what is it? First of all, let's break it down. Okay, so we can see this, y'all. Human beings, right? We can see it. When you see somebody and you feel drawn to their presence, right? Oh, wow. That person knows who they are. You see how attractive that is? That person knows who they are. That person is grounded and they're confident and I can trust, right? Doesn't it bring about that trust? I can trust them. I want to be around them, right? And what is that supreme confidence? It's not always connected to a particular type of education, right? It's not always connected to memorization, right? Think about it, right? Because the first thing that you want to say is, oh, you have to be competent to be confident, right? You have to know what you're talking about to look like you know what you're talking about, right? And I think this is where there's a misconception. And this is why you have people that go all in on education, seeking to achieve a particular degree of confidence. However, when they get around people, especially their peers, they don't get the respect, right? They don't get the respect. And they're like, I got a doctorate, man. I got a doctorate in this. You should respect me. No, not automatically. Not automatically, right? You know all these things, you have them memorized, but that doesn't mean people are going to feel drawn to you or that people are going to place you in the position of expert, right? Just the knowledge alone doesn't do it. There has to be this inner trust, knowing, confidence, supreme confidence. That's what I'm talking about. And the part that I want to break apart and separate, right, and kind of fracture is this idea that if I can just, because I've fallen into this so many times, if I can just do this, then I will achieve that confidence, right? If I just had this kind of material possession, then the confidence will like be bestowed upon me almost, right? That I will start having this confidence from within because of these things that I possess on the outside. And when we look at some of our archetypes right now, some of these billionaires that we can't get enough of them, right? And we can't get away from them either, right? Because even when you've had enough and you try to just look on your social media, they're there. Right? The Jeff Bezos, the Elon Musk, the Kanye West, the all of these wealthy, the Donald Trump, right? The wealthy, big ego, they have all the money, right? They have all of the money. They have all the possessions, right? You can't have more possessions than that, right? In this material realm. You can't have more possessions, right, than a Jeff Bezos, right? You know, he has all of it, right? But sometimes when you watch some of these interviews, you can see this kind of this forceful acting. You can see it in the speech, right? It's this forceful insecurity, right? In the interviews. And you're pushing. it's like you're pushing this image, this false narrative, a lot of these guys, right? You're pushing this image so far, right? Down your throat, right? They're pushing themselves into your phone and into your TV and into your conversations, and they kind of push themselves there. And they exude a particular type of confidence, right? That a lot of people are drawn to. However, a lot of times the confidence is not the supreme confidence, right? It's not really from this inner spiritual connection and this inner knowing. It's more of, I got all the money, so that means that I'm the smartest guy in the room, right? And you hear it in some interviews, right? Why should I listen to you if you don't make as much money as I do? Why should I even pay attention to what you have to say? I got all the money, right? And that to me is, I mean, and I understand why people would want to aspire to, as some people would say, F you money, right? So I got so much money, I don't have to listen to nobody, right? Which to me is an interesting thing, because the spirit of collaboration, right? The spirit of community, of being, because these people, they still care what people think. You know, they can try to trick people and make people think, oh, I don't care what nobody thinks. You do, right? Because of being a human being, right? If you're not kind of like with a severe mental health, you're going to care, right? A particular type of mental health. You genuinely care what people think, right? And you might get used to using negative energy to feel cared about, but we all care. We all care, right? Kids care if you're paying attention to them or not. Adults care if they don't feel connected or if they do feel connected. You know, people care if they feel like nobody likes them. And they can say, oh, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care, right? But then you see a lot of tragedies happening, right? You see a lot of people, you know, taking their own life and all these things. And you're saying, whoa, why did they do that, right? I thought they didn't care. Of course they do, right? Everybody cares. And I think that we have this false thing that certain people aspire to, a lot of guys particularly aspire to, this numbness, right? This numb. So you don't have to feel anything, right? People actively do things to suppress feeling anything so that they can do things that are out of integrity and out of character, right? So I know you've seen several times where somebody will use intoxication to be able to do things that go against their moral character so they can get away with it, right? That's not what I'm talking about here. We want to achieve this supreme confidence, right? It's not confidence over, right? It's a self-love. It's a self-love that's undeniable. It's a self-love being projected outward, right? Because you can project self-love inward, but then there's self-love projected out. And people see it. And those are the people that we love. There's no controversy, right? You know, we don't all agree. We all have different mindsets and different positionalities and points of view. We don't always agree on everything, but we love those people, right? You know who I'm talking about. The people, you know, it might be a friend, or it might be somebody in the office, or it might be a figure, a TV figure, or somebody that you just love them because they're so genuine. They're so authentic. They know who they are. And they have that light, that shining light. And it's beautiful. And so I think for me, I wanted to talk about this in this episode around supreme confidence, to really break apart this idea of, number one, it's not connected to what you know or don't know. Number two, it's not about the material possession. So, you know, stop thinking, oh, once I get a little bit more money, I'm going to start feeling confident. No, you're not. How many people do you know that have lots of money and don't feel confident, right? I know lots of people who are at least a minimum 100,000 years, right? Having hundreds of thousands of dollars, very little to no confidence. I know people with $1 million or more with little to no confidence. I'm talking about people that I know personally, right? Little to no confidence. So let's break that apart. It's not about the material thing, right? And I know people that have that have nothing but debt, right? Nothing but debt, not even a job, but they know who they are, right? And they exude this positive energy. And, you know, what I can guarantee is those people that I've seen that were kind of at a moment where they didn't have anything, but they had that supreme confidence, it was very short lived. Oftentimes they might have lost everything and then they come back 100 times more, right? So whatever they lost, they get back because everybody loves them. You love those people. You just want to soak up the energy and just be next to them and have them just impress upon you because you're like, I want to be like that. Right? But it takes a lot of work because in order to actually be like that, you actually have to love yourself. You don't have to love every part of yourself, right? You don't have to be like, I love every square inch of my body and I don't have any issues with that mole or that whatever. You know, I feel like you can still have parts of you that you like more than others, but you have to love yourself as a whole, right? As a spirit, as a spiritual entity, as an incarnated being, as someone that's here for a reason, right? Someone that's here, even if that reason is to experience life and love, even if that experience is to be a parent and to give this unconditional love to a young being, right? Whatever that reason, you have to have this kind of this feeling within. You know, you can't hate yourself completely and hate who you are and then exude supreme confidence. It doesn't work like that. You can pretend, right? So you know, we have this beautiful thing as human beings where we can mirror each other. So if you watch enough of one person's style and their way of being, you can start mimicking that and you can start copying that. And if you go to a new place and you start acting that way, people are going to think that's how you are. And you're going to probably fool a lot of people, but you're not going to fool yourself. And those people are not going to be able to really get close to you because that's not really who you are. And you're going to want to hide your truth. So we do have to do the work. There's a lot of conditioning that we have to work to actually separate and separate that away from us, right? So it takes a lot of work to take these messages that we've received about ourselves, and it's different for everybody. Some of the main categories, not all of them. Patriarchy is a huge one, right? And it goes both ways. You're this because of your particular gender expression. You're that because of you're a man is this, a woman is that. And that's a huge one. Race is another just overarching, you know, oh, I can't be confident because I'm this, you know. The LGBTQ, right? I can't be, you know, and just gender expression in general. You can't be attractive if you're this, or you're different because of that, or you have to be like this if you want to be accepted. All of those things that are myths, really. They're not really true. And then we try to conform to them. And then we create our self-acceptance around how closely we fit to this ideal. And spoiler alert, nobody fits, right? And the people that you think fit the most, oh, you're a cisgendered white man, you know, heterosexual, this, you're married, you have this. Those people are oftentimes struggling to fit the ideal more than anybody else because they have this perception that they are the ideal, but they don't feel that way, right? And then you have the people who are the furthest from the ideal. In a sense, it's a lot of difficulty, but in a sense, there's also a little bit of freedom because they know they're never going to fit that ideal, right? So it doesn't matter what I do, I will never fit that ideal. So F it, right? Forget about it. The point being is that all of these things that bind us, we have to do the work to start separating ourselves meaning us as a in our physical body and in our spiritual body, we have to start doing the work. And it's very painful because there's this unknown, right? When you separate yourself away from your identity, then there's this blankness before you can, before, which is when you've separated yourself from this identity that you've held your entire life and you haven't yet become or stepped into this new identity, there's this blankness, and it's a very scary place. It's a very confusing, and fear starts to come up, and anxiety, and you want to do nothing more than to run back to that identity that's comfortable, that I know myself, you know, people, oh, I know myself, right? I'm a black, this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm rich, I came from that, I came from this, I come from this country, I speak this language, I do this, I know me, right? So when those identities, when you allow those identities to just, you separate yourself, or not completely, but you create a distance. And then it's like, who am I after all that, right? If I didn't have those, who would I be? Nothing? Or is there something still there, right? And so tapping into that nature, right? That supreme consciousness that you are, that truly is you, tapping into that generates a particular type of supreme confidence within that has nothing to do with anybody else, that starts to emanate outward. And then people feel that energy. Oh my goodness. They start feeling good because they feel the realness of you. And it's not like this flowery, I love everything about myself and I'm just in total bliss, you know. I woke up, I did 3 yoga stretches, and now I'm in total bliss for the rest of the day. No, it doesn't work that way, right? You're still going to go through the sorrow and the pain and the disappointment and the grief and the insecurity. You're still going to go through all of that. But there's this flame that's ignited, right? This knowledge of you, this knowledge of I, right? I am, right? I am what? I don't know, right? But I'm here. There's a consciousness. There's a presence. And then that confidence can start growing from that. You've broken the chain, right? You've broken the chain. And then you're like, who let the dogs out? Who? Anyway, you know, you got to bring some humor, right? Because you broke the chain. And now you're a little dog running around, right? And then you grow up and you become a big dog, right? And then you got that big dog vibes, right? You got that big dog consciousness. You know that you're a big dog. You know that you have big energy. You don't need to, it's not over somebody else, but it's just you. That's who you are. You're beautiful, right? You're amazing. You're here with a purpose. You're connected. You have a future. You have a life. You've had a life, you have a past. You have excitement about the present and the future. You have excitement about reviewing the past and the experiences that you've had that you're healing through, right? There's an excitement about the presence, right? Just being. And so you get this separation from all these other things, which opens up more freedom to actually have the choice to change your circumstance. Because a lot of what keeps you stuck in your circumstance is the identity that you're unwilling to release. You know, I'm a fireman, right? I'm going to be a fireman till the day I die. And I'm just using that as an example, right? I'm a fireman, right? I'm a police officer, right? I'm a teacher. I'm a janitor. I'm a nurse. I'm a doctor. I'm a therapist. I am all of these fill in the blanks, right? So once you're that, if you were to change jobs, you wouldn't be that anymore, right? If you were a hardcore motorcycle biker or rider, and then you sold your bike, you wouldn't have a motorcycle anymore. So you can't really kind of claim it in the same way if you don't work there anymore. You don't work in the fire department anymore. You can say you're an ex-firefighter, but you can't say you're currently one, Right? So all of these things that bind us, some of these decisions were made for us, by the way. Maybe that's for another episode. But stepping back and getting that freedom, and then the supreme confidence can help you do that. Anyway, let me wrap this up. Thank you for listening. This is Feeling Inspired, and I'm your host, Mahesh.